Blog Talk Radio.
This morning in the word of God, because you know what? It is a great word. It is a great word. God is good and his mercy endures forever and all time. I am grateful this morning, thankful this morning, and blessed this morning to be with you as we move forward in God's word. And all I can say is, it is a great word. For God loves us so much. He loves us so much that all you can say is, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for picking me up, for turning me around, for placing my feet, hallelujah, on solid ground. God is good. God is good. And, you know, if you just go back to them old songs, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. That's just how I feel today. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's just how I felt. Just how, sometimes you just got to put a little song in your in the pep in your step. Just a little song to just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Hallelujah. Did you wake up this morning with your mind stayed on Jesus? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning filled up. Filled up with a fresh wind. Filled up with just a heart full of you, God. But there is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Lord, who loves me like you do, Lord. So, Father God, I move forward in your word this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, thanking you for another day, thanking you for being able to hear my voice, God. Thank you for hearing my voice, God, as I put your word in the atmosphere. I pray that it is caught by someone who just needs a word this morning, someone who needs hope this morning, someone who knows that you are God and that you will not leave them. Lord God, I lift up those that are sick. You know each one by name. You know each one by the hairs of their head. You know every last from the black to the red to the blonde to the gray. Hallelujah, Lord, you know each and every one. And Father God, I'm lifting up your people today, asking you for your miraculous healing power. Heal the sick, God. You know those that I lift up in prayer, and I ask you to please, Lord God, hear my prayer. Hear my prayer. Hear my prayer, God. And I thank you for hearing our prayers for our reader, God. I thank you for hearing our prayers for Sister Carolyn, God. I thank you for hearing our prayers, God, for those traveling the highways and byways, for those suffering from cancer, from those suffering from issues with blood clots and aneurysms and our order problems, God. I'm listing each and every person. You know who they are, God, what their ailments are, God. And I'm praying and believing you, God, for healing, for your healing power over babies in NICU, God, for your healing power for their mothers and fathers who sit and watch and hold their babies' hands. Lord God, I lift up all those that are shut in this morning, God, those that are needing some time with you alone, God. So I pray for the sick and the shut in, God, as I lift up on this Friday morning, God, in this new year, this sixth day, this day of man, God, that you send out refreshing fresh wind over houses, over homes, over apartments, over this planet, God. Send a fresh wind, a wind where people can breathe a fresh air and know that it comes from you, Holy Spirit. Lord God, blow on your children this morning. Let us feel your Spirit overflow over us, God. For we are your sons and daughters. And Lord God, I would be remiss if I did not repent, God. I repent of anything said, anything thought, aloud or in secret. You know my heart, you know my mind, you know my spirit. I repent, oh God, of anything that is against your divine majesty, Father God. For you are holy, and I want to be holy just like you. So Lord God, again, I lift up this word, thanking you for another day, and asking you, Lord God, to be the leader and guider of my feet, that I will walk in righteousness and walk in faith and not in fear. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord God, and I give this word to you. And I pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, for you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word. Thanking you, God. Thanking you for it and for another day as we move forward in your word, oh God. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. And I'm grateful. This is the sixth day of the new year. Can you say it with me? Sixth day of the new year. Still shocked and overwhelmed that God has given us a whole nother day. Hallelujah. To sing his praises, to give honor to him. And this is going to be an Old Testament Friday. Our word is coming out, our title word is coming out of Psalm chapter 5. And we will be in Genesis today. In Genesis. Starting in chapter 11 and ending in chapter 16. So get your Bible, everybody. Get your Bible. So Genesis chapter 11 through chapter 16. Psalm chapter 4, starting at verse 1 through chapter 5, ending at verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 28 and ending at chapter 2, verse 9. So we got a lot of word this morning, so get your Bibles and let's get started. And we are going to be talking about Abram today. Abram, in the beginning of the children of Israel. And it says this, now the whole earth had one language. See what all that says? The whole earth, because remember, sons of Noah, Shem and Japhet, of course, you're going to speak the same language. You're from the same great-grandfather, grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather. And so this is what it says. And it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They didn't know they were speaking it into existence. But the Lord came down to see the city and tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood, and he begot Arphaxad. Shem lived 500 years and begot sons and daughters. Arphaxad lived 35 years and begot Selah. After he begot Selah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Selah lived 30 years and begot Eber. And after he begot Eber, Selah lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years and begot Peleg. And after he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and begot sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. After he begot Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and begot sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and begot Sherug. After he begot Sherug, Reu lived 207 years and begot sons and daughters. Sherug lived 30 years and begot Nahor. After he begot Nahor, Sherug lived 200 years and begot sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. After he begot Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and begot sons and daughters. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarah barren, she had no children. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with out with them from Uz of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land of the place of Shechem as far as the cherubim tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there. But the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for the sake, for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh who saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. And you want to say, you didn't have to lie. You didn't have to lie, Abraham. You didn't have to lie. But the truth is, she is his half-sister. She really is his half-sister. So, you know, you can't say he did tell the truth to a point. She was his half-sister. In Genesis 12 and 1, it says, get out of your country, from your hand, from your family. This is our life lesson for chapter 12. And it says, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. God always connects obedience with blessing, even when he does not sketch out the full details of what that blessing may be. Genesis 12 and 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. The Lord appeared to Abram only after Abram obeyed his voice by moving to Canaan. As Abram's faith grew, so did the details of God's promise to him. And as we go into the next part, in chapter 12 and 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to dwell there. Men and women of faith must endure hardship just like anyone else. But God wants to use adversity to deepen and strengthen our relationship with him. And the word of God, it says, answer to life's questions. How can I become a more obedient child of God. Obedience is a major characteristic of a person who is mighty in spirit. Generally speaking, obedience characterizes the faith of Abraham from his first encounter with God until his death. All obedience begins with faith in the sovereignty of God. If we fail to believe in God's sovereignty, we will find it difficult to obey him. Abraham based his relationship with God on his confidence that God would do what he had promised. Romans 4:20-21. Until we study and meditate on God's word, we will never learn to trust him. Faith comes by hearing the word of God and responding in confident trust. Number two, we grow in obedience by waiting for God's timing. And I know I'm one of those ones that, it's like, Lord, I need this, I need that. And then I thought, wait a minute. The Lord needs something from you. Are you giving God what he needs from you? As you begging God for what you need? I had to stop and take a minute one day and say, Lord, forgive me. As I always come to you, yes, I should. But sometimes I need to just tell you thank you. I need to tell you thank you every morning that you gave me breath in my body to breathe another day. So, Father God, I thank you. You know, we have to change the way we think because so many times we act like God is an ATM. He is not. But remember one thing, with an ATM, you got to have money in it to get money out of it. So you have to have something in your relationship with God to get something out of God. You got to give God your time, your talent, your tips as he gives you what you need. We got to give God some time. You know, we got to be the ATM giving God all manner of time. Hallelujah. We grow in obedience by waiting for God's timing. God is very time conscious, not in terms of minutes and seconds, but in regards to our acting in obedience according to his schedule. Throughout the scriptures, we find him moving in the fullness of time. Galatians 4:4. He is neither early nor late ever, because God is always on time. And I will be honest, I am not. But I ask God to work with me on my procrastinating spirit. In the name of Jesus, I bind it. Because I'm trying my best to get better. And it's still chapter number 3. We continue to grow in obedience by refusing to subject God's plan to common sense or the reasoning of the world. Some things that God requires look ridiculous from a human perspective. God told Abraham he would have a son, and he would bless the entire world. Yet he allowed Abraham's obedience to be severely tested. First, by requiring him to wait nearly a quarter of a century before providing the promised provision, and later by requiring him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. When God saw the obedience of Abraham's heart, he provided a ram in Isaac's place. You know, I have a sister in Christ who loves to call another sister in Christ a ram in the bush. You know, we all need a ram in the bush. When we go in obedience to God, we need that ram in the bush. And it says the final step prompts obedience. If you long to obey God, you will not hesitate when he tells you to do something. Many times we fail to obey God because we fear the consequences. Yet he never requires us to do anything outside his will for our lives. Our only responsibility is to obey God's responsibility, God's responsibility is to take care of the consequences of our obedience. Sensitivity to God's will increases as we obey him. Along the way, he provides glimpses of the blessings waiting for us. God always blesses obedience. Did you hear that? God always blesses obedience. You can trust him, obey him, and be blessed, or you can disobey him and spend the rest of your life wondering what he would have done had you obeyed him. Once you glimpse the blessings of obedience, however, that consequences no longer matter. Praise the Lord. And again, one more time, obedience is a major characteristic, and these are number one. All obedience begins with faith in the sovereignty of God. Number two, we grow in obedience by waiting for God's timing. Number three, we continue to grow in obedience by refusing to subject God's plans to common sense or the reasoning of the world. Number four, the final step, prompt obedience. Genesis chapter 13. Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram. He was not Abraham yet. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate from me. If you take the left, then I will take the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, a northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land and through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mirah, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Chapter 14 of Genesis. And it came to pass in the days of Eliphaz, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Kedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tito, king of nations, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Dinab, king of Admah, and Shinabar, king of Zeboam, and the kings of Bela, that is Zeor. All those joined together in the valley of Sidon, which is the salt sea. 12 years they served Kedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Kedorlaomer and the kings that were with him came and attacked Therapheum and Ashtaroth, Kerneum and Zezim and Ham and Emon and Shavah, Kirathan and the Hirites in their mountains of Seir as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they turned back and came to Enon Mizpah, that is Kadesh, and attacked all the country of the Amalekites who dwelt in Hazazon Tamar, and the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Siddim against Kedalamar, king of Edom, Zedo, king of the nations, and Raphael, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, war kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the things of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their provisions, and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the timber tree of Naram, the Amorite's brother of Eshcol, the brother of Enah, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went to as far as Sam. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, and as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom, but it's saying his brother Lot, but we know Lot is his nephew. And it says, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Kedorlaomer, and the kings were with him. Then Melchizedek, and I believe Melchizedek is Jesus. That's just who I believe in my heart. I believe that Melchizedek was Jesus. And it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And he gave him a tithe of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God, Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went out with me, Enar, Eshcol, and Merim. Let them take their portion. Whew. They were like, I am not taking anything from you. And didn't. And a Genesis life lesson. Then Abram called on the name of the Lord. We have no record that Abram called on the name of the Lord while in Egypt, where he got into trouble. How much better off we would be if we will learn that prayer is life's greatest time saver. The Lord hears your voice every morning. Genesis 14:20, blessed be God, Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. The mysterious priest, Melchizedek, reminded Abram that God had delivered Abram's enemies into his hands, even though it was Abram's men that did the fighting. God, though, of all blessings. Did y'all catch that? God, not me, not you. But God is the author of all blessings. As we go to Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, since I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now, toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in pieces down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. And he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, you know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them that they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge afterwards. They shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at the good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those seasons on the same day. The Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Canaanite, the Kenite, the Kizim, the Kenazite, the Kadmonite, the Adites, and the Perizzites, and the Raphaim, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Gershonites, and the Jebusites. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Poor Hagar, I felt bad for her. So Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid, perhaps I will obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 2 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hands. Do to her as you please. Not a typical man. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, hey, God, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. But she said, Have I also here seen him who sees me? Therefore the well was called Bera Lahai-Roi, observed between Kadesh and Merit. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son whom Hagar bore him Ishmael. He was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. what a word. And a couple of life lessons from this word this morning. Genesis chapter 15. He believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abram did not see how God could fulfill his gracious promise to him regarding an heir. He trusted the Lord anyway. He looked beyond what he could see to what God could see. Genesis 15 and 16. In the fourth generation, they shall return you, but the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. God is more patient than we can imagine. He will wait over 400 years to give the land of promise to his people because the wicked Canaanites had not yet reached the point of no return. They have not reached the point of no return. And as we go, that's it. That was actually all the life lessons for Jesus. So let's go to our psalm. And our psalm today is starting in Psalm chapter 4. And it says, to the chief musician with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? He laughed. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Oh, Jesus. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Be loved. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than the season that the grain and wine increase. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Hallelujah. On our Morning Glory Nation, they like to say, we like to say, no fires broke out and no thieves broke in. When we dwell in the safety of God's arms, we don't have to worry about anything, because God is in charge of everything. Chapter 5, and this is where our title from this morning, to the chief musician with flute, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. But to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. Hallelujah. That is my testimony. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Hallelujah. But you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. Thou shalt evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Can y'all say hallelujah, praise the Lord with me this morning, and greatly to be praised. There is none like our God. And as we go to chapter 4 life lesson, you have put gladness in my heart more than the season that their grain and wine increase. The joy of the Lord is a supernatural thing, deeper and stronger and tougher and more resilient than any joy derived from mere circumstances. Those without it cannot understand it. We need to help them experience it for themselves. All I can say is thank you, God, for your loving kindness. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, for being in the midst of my heart and my mind and my spirit. Psalm 4 and 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Jesus once slept soundly on a boat that pitched and rolled wildly in a stormy sea. Why? Out of exhaustion. Nope, because he knew the Lord would keep him safe. God wants Jesus' kind of confidence to take root in us. God wants that Jesus kind of faith in us. Do you have it this morning? In a minute. And it says this in our life principles today. Peace with God is the fruit of oneness with God. Thank you, God, for family. It says every now and then we do well to take stock of our situation. So I'd like to ask you to look around. What's happening in your life and in the life of your family? You may not be experiencing a difficult time. From your perspective, everything may seem sunny and clear. Storms come, however, at times they roll over our lives with bounding blows. How do we maintain a sense of peace and spiritual balance when trials strike? The answer is found in a close, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. The words of Ellen Lamia, classic hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," contain a vital, exciting truth. An unshakable peace is available to all who turn the eye of their hearts to Jesus. You know, I like the one song that our kids sing, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you high and lifted up." You know, I want to see the Lord high and lifted up as we come into his presence with singing. And as Dr. Stanley says, no one outside of God is equipped to handle our problems. He never meant for us to be strong on our own. This is Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. God wants us to be strong and courageous. So many times the enemy will make us stumble that we walk in fear. We have to walk in faith, knowing that the Lord God is with us, and he will help us get a handle on our situation. And as we go over, this is one of the most difficult points in his life. David wrote the 91st Psalm, which we all love. It begins, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust." Are you trusting in the Lord this morning? Are you lifting up your voice in meditation? Are you praying? Are you saying in the morning, "Ooh, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up." Are you looking up this morning in prayer? Hallelujah. And I love what Dr. Stanley ends this section on life principles. It says, "Let his peace invade your heart. Tell him all you are feeling. He understands and knows that life can be difficult, but he has a solution. Our peace resides in our Savior, who loves us unconditionally. He has promised to keep us and deliver us into the Father's loving arms." Are you waiting on God this morning? And life lessons from Psalm, the fifth Psalm. It is this: "You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you." Many believers today think grace means they can sin without consequences, that God loves them and forgives them so they can do what they want. But grace never changes the way God feels about sin. He hates it. God hates sin. And it says, but for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship towards your holy temple. Are you worshiping God this morning? Are you trusting God that he will make a way for you? And our Proverbs for this morning, Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning around, turning away of the temple will slay them, and the complacency of food will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Are you listening to God today? Are you listening? Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We want to find the knowledge of God. We want to get up in the morning, hallelujah, and say, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, but to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Are you looking up this morning? Proverbs chapter 2, verses 69. For the Lord gives wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Trust in God today. If he has not heard your voice, let him hear your voice this morning. Get on your knees and direct your prayers toward the Lord. Look up. There's a lifting of my eyes unto the hills from whence my help comes from. We got to be like David and look up. For God is our shield. God is that balm in Gilead that heals our souls. Hallelujah. And before this morning is over, let us get a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And all I can say is, wow, God is so good. And I am so grateful that he loves me more than anything. And I did not get a word this morning from Sister Carolyn, but I know that I will have one today. Hold on. Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. It came early, early this morning. And it is this. Blessed Friday. Just remember that when nobody else was there for you, God was there and he will never leave you alone. God bless everyone. Have a fantastic Friday. And can we say all up in the lesson this morning? Just remember that when nobody else was there for you, was God there for Abram and Sarah? Yes, he was. Was he there for David? Yes, he was. Is he there for you? Yes, he is. God was there and he will never leave you alone. We stand on the word of God. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. That should be all of me. And every morning, wake up with that prayer in your heart. And speaking of prayer, our prayer for this morning, brought low When holy lovers of God cry out to him with all their hearts, the Lord will hear them and come to rescue them from all their troubles. 34th Psalm, verse 17. TTT. Yahweh, you are the one in whom I find all my longings fulfilled. There is not one good thing that could satisfy me the way that you do. Though other things may gratify me for a time, your love is consistent all the days of my life, never losing its luster. I will not hold back my heart from you today. I need you more than I can express. Come into the place of my life laid out before you. I need your restoration in my relationship. I'm desperate for your peace to bring calm to the chaotic situations that threaten my emotional stability. Bring your wisdom into situations that are confusing and the ones that have no easy answers. I need your love to drive out the anxieties that build in the pressure cooker of my nervous system. God, you are everything I need. Don't turn your back when I cry out to you. I know you won't. You don't grow weary of kindly reassuring your children when they start to squirm at the unfamiliar. You are my help and my hope. And the question for that prayer is this: what help do you need from the Lord today? Hallelujah. And one more prayer before we pray out. Abide. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. John 15:4 ESV. Faithful companion for God, I am so grateful that I am not meant to do life in my own strength. I can only give you a limited offering of skills, time, and resources. Yet you say that fruit is born out of abiding, of being connected. I remember today that whatever I do, if I am connected to and rooted in you, fruit will come in time. It is easy to get caught up in the frenzy of life and forget that you are the source of all life. Today I center my mind around the reality of your goodness. I remember that being connected to you is enough to produce fruitfulness. I don't need to conjure it up and work to the bone to make fruit appear. God, would you produce fruit that lasts in my life? Help me see with fresh eyes today what leaning into you looks like. And a question for this morning as we wrap up. What can you let go of today that keeps you from resting in the knowledge that you are abiding in God and He in you? Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Thank you for listening in. And remember, every morning, start on your knees. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear. In the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family, knowing that you are a child of God and He loves you beyond measure. Never give up. Never give in. Always continue trusting in God, and have a blessed and wonderful day. Loving God and loving you. Be blessed. For this is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's a wrap. Have a blessed day, family.